BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
Hiya, here is the podcast for Monday the 5th of November. Today, our friend Chris Ramsey came in and was very funny. That's all on this free download. There's a Bonfire Night 24 years at the Tap End special. Also, more Loving the Trolls, where we take some abuse that we've been sent on Facebook and Twitter and put it through a computer called Lawrence with a funny voice. Doesn't hurt anymore. Oh, and Chris's brilliant new way of greeting women. BBC Radio 1. Example and Close Enemies on BBC Radio 1. One of Chris Ramsey's new favourite songs. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Scott. You all right?
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming to see us on Bonfire Night. We don't know what to call it.
No.
What is it?
Yeah, it's Keep Your Pets in the House Night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
was telling you
saying earlier, I tried a sparkler for the first time last night. Not any good. I'd forgotten quite how rubbish they were.
Sorry, what? You that was for the first time?
No,
ever?
No, not ever, but in a few years, because you kind of grow out of them, and now I'm back on.
What were you expecting?
I don't know. Works. I thought maybe they might have got better in time,
yeah.
But like they haven't.
Well, everything else has got better. Like computer games and stuff. And cameras have got better.
So why is sparklers still rubbish?
Yeah, they're just staying on a level of mediocre.
Yeah,
write your name. It's all you're doing.
Yeah. Now, last time we saw you was on our Fun and Filth Cabaret in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And you were particularly filthy that night.
Yeah, well, don't put filth in the title and expect me not to go full hog.
Well, you did, and I enjoyed it, but don't do that today because it's 3:15.
Don't worry, it's fine.
Now, after that, you did another show in the same venue. And there was some kind of blackout, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, we finished that, and then I think it was either the day after or something, and I did... Yeah, it was the comedy marathon that ended up being Chris Ramsey's Comedy Fringe on BBC Three, but it was there was a total power cut.
It was so weird because I was watching it at home on telly because I thought I haven't seen any because I've been in Edinburgh. I stick it on the TV, and then it's on for like 2 minutes. All of a sudden, all the lights go out, and there's a PA guy going, "Stay in your seats." And you said some comment about don't be patronising.
Like,
everyone gets up and goes to the loo in the middle of the night. And it was just so weird because they kept it on.
Yeah, well, it was the comedian on stage at the time was Joel Dommett, and I'd been hosting it, and he was on. He was just doing his stuff. He was doing very well, and it all just went off. And he said afterwards, he was like, I thought I'd went over my time, so I thought they just turned
everything off.
It's like when they put the music on at the Oscars when you're doing your speech too long.
They
just turn the lights off instead.
So I had to. I basically ran back on with him. I was like, look, he doesn't know what's going on here. So I just ran on, and me and him sat cross-legged in the dark. And some girl was like, get naked, and I was like, yeah, we are. Like, you can't prove that we're not pets.
Comedy in the Dark's quite a good idea, though, I think.
It's been done. There's an actual show called Comedy in the Dark.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. It's the dude at Edinburgh.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's in the pitch black and, I don't know. I've never been. I don't know if it works. It's probably great.
Yeah. I was about to ask whether that show was live on BBC Three, but if it wasn't, then why would they not have cut it out?
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid question of the day.
It was live on the red button.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Now, I like the tweets you got earlier when you said you were on the train to London to come and see me. My favourite, you get everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's good.
it's either one or the other, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's either a death threat or a pointless word.
Yeah. You do have a lot going on, Chris Ramsey.
Yeah, it's nice to be busy, though. It's really nice. I used to work in an office block. I used to work in a pub. So this is... I like whinging about being tired because I think all men do. I think we love whinging. Everyone, when you're tired, I think you must have some kind of an endorphin released when you whinge about being tired. And then you clock up, you go, oh yeah, so I fell asleep at 4. And I got so I only had 3 hours, so yeah, I'm tired. And then you talk to other people, they go, I'm tired. And you go, no, how long did you? And you're like, it's like a competition.
It's a constant competition.
And it's like, well, you've been at work. Yeah, but you sit down. Yeah, but I've got a long corridor. And it's like, it just goes on.
I enjoy celebrities that moan about being tired on Twitter
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes if I'll have like one day off and I'll put and it'll be like 12 o'clock and I'll be like, oh, I just woke up, great, lie in. And then people will be like, God, lazy. And I just want to go send us your address now so I can come round and slap you because I'm that angry. But it's I'm nice and busy. It's lovely to be busy and I'm on tour at the minute and it's tiring, but it's great. I feel very lucky.
I was going to ask you, what do you want to talk about first? Because there's a lot. You do a lot, but still manage to maintain that tremendous hair.
Yeah, and I come in and I look on the screen here, and we're not even on the webcam.
I know. And
someone else
is special.
On, and I did it. I could have wore a hat. I got a new hat yesterday. Oh, there we go.
That's us, but we're not, like, no one can see us apart from us.
No one can see us apart from us.
No.
It's like an interactive mirror.
It really is.
I, well, the tour, I'm on my tour at the minute.
Extended tour.
We've just extended it, yes. It sold so well, like crazy. Like, obviously, it was the show I did in Edinburgh. It was the... not the 5 minutes of Fun and Phil, that would be terrible. although some of that does make it in. But yeah, it was the hour-long show that I did in Edinburgh every night. And then it sold so well, this tour. It's nearly sold out, so we've just extended it. This leg of the tour finishes on the 22nd of December in Norwich. So I've got a nice drive, hopefully not through the snow, back up to Newcastle after Norwich, which is going to be nice.
It's quite far.
Yeah, but then we've extended into the spring, so we've got 11th of January at Bloomsbury. I'm really looking forward to that. It's just down the road, isn't it, London?
And Hebben's on?
Hebben's on now, yes. It's halfway through the series. Great feedback. People are loving it. I didn't know I could act. So all the directors and people were going, yeah, you've done well, you were good. And I was like, I'm not going to believe this until the slagging off on Twitter is outweighed by the praise. That's how you can realise, you know what I mean? You sort of go, oh, well, I've got like 4 death threats, but 5 people said they really like me hair. So I'm in positive. I mean, you know what I mean? That's not negative equity. I'm doing well.
You're doing all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy. I'm so happy everyone's enjoying it. It was so much fun to do. And, yeah, my favourite episode is next, is the one on Thursday. Episode 4 is my favourite one. I really got to...
If people haven't seen the show, explain what it is.
First of all, Hebben is a real place. Thank you everyone on Twitter last night who asked us whether it was or not.
I saw that.
It's Hebburn. It's not Hepburn and it's not Heaven, right? Let's air this dirty washing in front of everyone now. Hebburn, Hebben. And it's a town just next to where I'm from, in the northeast, called I'm from South Shields, and Hebben's just I think it's 5 stops on the metro.
Oh, good. So, good knowledge.
There we go. just patronise. Good knowledge. Tick. You get everywhere. It's basically about my character. The character I play is called Jack. He got married to, he's a slightly posh, posher than him, wife Sarah. They got married by accident when they were drunk in Vegas, and basically the first episode they go home and they try and hide this secret, and it comes out at the end of the first episode, and they're basically, then his life's gone a bit pear-shaped.
Don't want to plot spoil too much in case people are watching this.
His life, basically, he's being dragged back into the town he initially didn't like, but hopefully he's going to fall in love with it along with the view in public.
Very good.
So there we go.
And how many episodes?
There's 6 episodes, but we are fingers crossed for a second series. It's going very well.
Give me a second series.
Yeah, it'd be mental not to, BBC. Yeah. Good night. Yeah.
Are you still doing a lot of panel shows? You probably can't fit that in, can you?
Yeah, well, I did quite a few on Celebrity Juice this series. That was really good fun. That's just mayhem.
That's a good show to do.
Well, it's one of the only shows that it can sort of replicate the mayhem of live comedy, because it is mayhem. You watch sort of other great stand-up on TV is great, but it's always quite polished. But just the fact that they're all sitting there, and that Keith Lemon character, he's ridiculous. That's the question I get asked the most in public. What's he like?
Yes.
It's crazy.
And every time we mention him, some people still don't realise that he's a character.
Yeah, they don't, yeah. It's crazy.
Which is quite bad, because he's been going years now.
Yeah. Well, now and then he'll say something, and I'll remember a Bo Selector quote, and I'll say about, and he sort of looks at us, and you can see his eyes come out of character, and he goes, stop it. And I go, I'm a fanboy at heart. I am with all of these things, yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah, well,
Keith, that real person that we're talking about.
Keith. I've seen his birth certificate. But yeah, so I did a few of them, Buzzcocks the other week, and yeah, I love the panel shows. They're so much fun.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Is there a pressure, though, to be the funny one, the funniest one?
It's horrible. There's the last Buzzcocks I did, you sort of sit there sometimes. Like, it normally goes quite well, but you sort of, on a couple of times, it happened on 8 out of 10 Cats and it happened on Buzzcocks, you'll sit there and you'll go, I've just been laughing here. I might as well be in the audience. I haven't really contributed. And you sort of, your brain clicks in and you go, right, and you sort of make more of an effort.
But when it's lots of comedians, surely everyone's kind of fighting to pitch in as quickly as they can.
Yeah, well, I did Mock the Week, and Mock the Week was actually lovely. I thought that would be the worst one, because that's all like top flight comedians. And I was like, oh, this is going to be... And obviously, I still feel like the new kid, and it was great. But 8 out of 10 Cats can be quite that. But it's just, I'm at that sort of lucky position where I do just really enjoy comedy. I just love it. Yeah. So even if I'm sitting there laughing sometimes, I think, well, at least I'm still here. Do you know what I mean? I just laugh me head off. Like when I did 8 out of 10 Cats, Sean Locke, I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
He just, and I'm right next to him going, how am I even supposed to chip in? So I was just tagging on the back of his jokes. Just tagging on the back. And a lot, I think a lot of the stuff when I do on panel shows, I just think of it off the fly, really. I just think of it off the top of my head.
So you're not sat there writing things for hours before?
Not hours before. You get a sort of an idea. Anyone listening who believes that people walk into panel shows and then they just go, should we talk about this? And the comedians just go, here's a fantastic off-the-cuff anecdote that I've got that's got three callbacks in it and it's relevant and it's topical and it happens to be clean as I'm saying it. You're not living on this planet if you think like that. Oh. You get told what's going to happen, not word for word, nothing like that. But the best bits come from the randomness, come from the everyone jumping on the back of each other's jokes and everyone getting involved.
Next, you'll be telling me that some of the things they see on X Factor aren't spontaneous.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just off the top of their heads.
Yeah, yeah. And those, all them people on X Factor, are they going to actually sing? They're just pretending they can't for the telly.
Are you watching that? Are you watching it?
I watched a bit of it last night. It's one of them things, I slag it off and I go, oh no. And then I went to my mate's house yesterday and it was on and he went to turn the Xbox on and I went, no, we'll just see who got voted out. Come on, we'll just see. And I don't think, I was on Juice with Katie Price and she's mates with that Ryland apparently. I don't know anything about it, but yeah, Gary Barlow looked like he was ready to spit last night.
I know.
He looked furious.
Also, Gwen Stefani though, amazing.
Yeah?
Like, what's she done? Like, whatever is happening with her face is incredible.
Yeah.
Because
what an
amazing
mean?
Compliment.
Because
imagine seeing that as someone in the street.
That's because
she, excuse me, sir.
Ladies love it when you say that.
She hasn't looked exactly the same since 1996.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, yeah. It was like the No Doubt video again.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I just want to know how she does it. Just for future reference.
Yeah, yeah. Don't know. Tell you what, she was looking fine.
Yeah.
What was the performance like, though? Did you sound good? I didn't hear it.
I didn't really have the sound up. I was just looking at her. Right, we were just talking off air about the various rumours that there are about you, because they're weirder than most.
Yeah, they're really rubbish as well.
Please tell the one you just said.
Yeah, I phoned a comedian the other day to have a chat about something, a gig that he'd done, and I wanted to know what it was like. And he went, oh, you got a new car? I went, yeah, and he went, I've heard a rumour about you. He went, is it true? I went, come on then. And I was expecting terrible things, like sordid backseats of car stories and everything, and he just went, yeah, I've heard that you've got a beach towel and when someone wants to eat in your car you give them a beach towel to put across the knees.
And I went, where does that come from?
I don't know, I'm a bit OCD, like I'm a little bit bad with, like, I like stuff clean and things, but not like a beach towel.
It's very
specific. You keep a beach towel and it, well, surely that I'd have sand in it, that would be worse. That's ridiculous.
But who told him that in the first place?
He was going, oh, I can't remember. I was like, oh, I know it'll be, I don't know, it's an incredible rumour. What a great one.
More from Chris Ramsey later on the Scott Mills Daily, but now this.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
So are we going bonfire theme today?
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. I held a sparkler for the first time in some years last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
We weren't allowed at my fireworks display. Health and safety was on.
Oh, there was no sparklers?
There was no bonfire, no sparklers, nothing.
What? So there was a bonfire night with no bonfire and no fireworks?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
They kept going on the tannoy. No sparklers. There's no bonfire.
So what was on?
Well, I don't know. The queue for the food was like round the block. I smuggled in a toffee apple, but I did the first bite and all the toffee fell to the ground.
How do
so
you
then
smuggle?
I just had an apple on a stick and I was like, this is rubbish night. It's so rubbish.
You'd have a sticky pocket if you smuggle in the toffee apple.
Is that one?
No, it had a wrapper on it.
Oh, right.
Anyway, let's go back in time.
I'm going to take you to my 17th year at the tap end, if you're keen.
Keen?
I am.
It is about bonfire evening, obviously.
Bonfire evening?
Well, what's the correct name? Is it Guy Fawkes Day, Bonfire Day, Bonfire Night, Firework Night?
I call it Bonfire Night.
That's what I'd say, yeah.
Even in the day?
Yeah, why are you having a bonfire in the day?
Well, you're not. I'm just saying, what's the name of this day?
Bonfire Night?
Right,
yeah,
okay.
You can still
fine.
Say it, yeah.
I think.
Bonfire evening. Ready?
Ruddo.
Ruddo.
Ready?
Steddo.
Not steady.
Ruddo.
No. Ready?
Ready.
Ruddo.
Remember, remember the 5th of November.
I always do. It's generally a wicked night out. And this night was to be no exception. Our local park, Roxbourne Park in Pinner, was due to put on its annual massive firework display. This year, I was really looking forward to it. I met up with Dougsy and Webbo near the park. There was a great atmosphere about. It was cold and everyone was in good spirits. The park was busy. There was a massive bonfire on the go, loads of people playing with sparklers, and people selling glow sticks and things that flash. I took full advantage. Do you know what I mean? Like the local big firework display.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I was going to on Saturday night, but it turns out it wasn't. I paid £5 to get in as well.
You paid £5 for an apple?
No, I'd already bought that. I took it with me. So all in all, £6 down.
It wasn't long till we met up with the girls we were meant to be meeting up with that evening. Roisin and Aoife were with a load of their mates, hanging out with everyone on the other side of the park, away from all the families. Me, Dougsy and Webbo didn't really fit in with most of the people on the rougher side of the park. They were far cooler than us. However, I was very keen that we made the effort. Me, Dougsy and Webbo stood awkwardly for a while, and it became apparent that we should take full advantage of how many girls there were about, and maybe even speak to one or two of them.
You didn't used to do that much, did you?
No, well, it was tricky back in the day, because you learn a lot, don't you, from 17 to, say, 24, about how to deal with them.
About how to deal with girls?
Well, I mean, just how you, say, approach and land a girl.
And land?
Well, what's the correct term?
Pull. Oh, my... It's like you're fishing.
Yeah, well, it is, because... Before, I didn't have much to bait with, but then after a few more years' life experience, you do, don't you?
You think you've got a lot to bait with now?
Well, no, I'm just trying to use this as an analogy. I've got more on my rod than I did when I was 17.
Right, OK. I don't really want to find out.
Please tell me you didn't go anywhere near that bonfire with all that wet look jelly you're wearing on your hair.
Good point. I mean, that would have been on back then as well.
It really would.
Did you have a few glow sticks attached to your chain?
Of course I did, yeah. It's good to light up. By this point, Roisin and Aoife were being talked to by a couple of shady lads in the corner, so we knew we would have to speak to some randoms. There was a group of four girls standing isolated from the majority of people. I took the decision that we should engage them in conversation. My mates were useless, and as I said hello to each of the girls, I shook them all by the hand. I clearly stood out as the leader and spokesperson of our group. At that age, I've learned since working here as well, that with girls, what you should do is go and give them a kiss on both cheeks.
I only do one.
Yeah, I would only do one. I think people like you who do two think, like, specifically target people who only do one, so that when you're going for the second, you might accidentally get the lips.
Yeah. It does increase your chances.
It does, because I've had that accidentally happen to me before.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyone famous?
No, it was my boyfriend's best friend. It was rather awkward in the curry house.
Well, I've heard in France sometimes they do four.
Yeah, they do. It's a bit JLS.
Really?
Four?
I like the idea that you start up a new one. So let's say I met you out somewhere. What I would do is I'd lean in and just kiss you on the forehead.
Like you were the Pope or something.
It's like, it's a new one.
Like you were royal kissing a baby.
Like a gimmick. Do you know what I mean? Because it would show you that you're in control and confident.
That's really odd.
I'm going to do it
it's
from now
though.
On.
I like it.
You wouldn't be able to reach me. Next, I'll stand up.
Next female pop star that comes in.
Okay, well, I'll probably
right, so
shake
meet
you.
Hi, nice to meet you. You have to go on tiptoes. You stood on tiptoes and sort of pulling me down at the same time.
I like it. I think it's a good look.
Well,
it
I looks certainly good. Remember you.
And it takes away that awkward how many kisses do I do on the cheek?
Yeah, just one to the forehead. Conversation was forced and awkward. They didn't seem keen. Two of the four girls weren't even looking at us and stood together smoking. To salvage the situation and regain the confidence of the two uninterested girls, I took a bold move and asked one of them if they had a spare cigarette. My mates looked at me shocked. None of us had ever smoked before. She took one out her purse and holding it in her hand, she asked me for a pound. I handed over the money, no questions asked. My mates looked at me as I stood there, fag in hand and not really a clue what to do next. I asked for a lighter. She obliged.
How much was that?
I didn't particularly want to smoke, but everyone was looking. So fumbling with a lighter, I attempted to light the cigarette. She had clearly mucked around with the lighter as the flame nearly singed my eyebrows as I finally got it going.
Oh, she'd put it on full, hadn't she?
Yeah, and I think she'd done that on purpose. Yeah. I took a puff on the cigarette and hated it, but styled it out to try and look cool. I couldn't hold it in and started coughing everywhere. It wasn't a good look, I hated it. Roisin and Aoife came over to join us, and at this point, the girls we were with decided to leave. But not before she asked if I was going to the pub later. I said yes, but I was well aware that I was then going to have to face problems with ID. However, I told myself I'd deal with that at the time. The pub was notorious for its liberal entrance policy, and I was hoping we could blag it.
So you're 17,
yep.
And the girls are like, are you coming to the pub later? And you went, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just made it confident and like I'd done it before.
Yes, I am.
Did you? Yeah, I was going to say, did you do a slightly deeper voice? Yes.
I will have a pint of Coke.
The fireworks ended with a bang, literally. Me, Dougsy and Webbo. What?
That was awful.
Quite literally, ended with a bang. Yeah.
It was a funny description.
Okay.
Me, Dougsy and Webbo headed into Pinner to the pub. The bouncer looked at us and waved us through. I couldn't believe it. I'd heard stories about this pub, but I couldn't actually believe he had let us in. It was very busy inside, but I could see the girls we had met earlier sitting in a small booth near the entrance to the pub. We sat down and got chatting. They told us that only the week before, the police had raided the pub to kick out anyone who may have been underage. It sounded dramatic. Apparently, it happened once a month or so, and this put me on edge. But sitting by the door, I was in a good place to see any police approaching or any suspected undercover police. I was just standing up to go to the toilet when I saw a man approach the entrance to the pub. He was moving quickly and I could see he had a dog with him on a lead. It was clear he was about to enter the pub. Alarm bells rang in my head. It was a raid. I shouted to the girls on our table and they bolted as well. Everyone moving so quickly caused a panic and the majority of the pub headed straight for the back door near the toilets.
What did you shout?
Get out!
Get out!
Pints were spilled and there was general chaos. In the panic, I ran to the toilet. I'm not sure why. Most other people ran through the back door, which led out to the beer garden and the safety of the park.
So are you trapped in the toilet at this point?
Yeah, I just ran straight into the toilet. I'm not sure why.
You're rubbish. You're like the ones in horror movies that go upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, get out of the house.
I stood there in the toilet cubicle waiting, but the panic quickly died down and it was clear that people were walking back into the pub. I left the safety of the cubicle and carefully walked back inside. It was quieter. People weren't happy though, a few pints had been spilled, and the bouncer was now removing everyone that had returned, knowing that people who had run were clearly underaged. I looked over to see where I'd got things so wrong, and the answer was sitting there in the booth we had run away from. The man I thought was a policeman raiding the pub with sniffer dogs was in fact a blind man with his guide dog, sitting there enjoying his pint.
Oh no. So you shouted to everyone to get out.
I think I instigated a sort of mass escape of that pub just because a blind man had come in with his dog. But I was new to that sort of police raids and...
And now you're an old pro.
Yeah. I didn't wait to be kicked out. I could see we were no longer welcome. The girls we had met were back in the pub. I turned around to talk to them, but it was clear they weren't so keen. Cutting my losses, I decided to leave. As I walked home, the fireworks going off got me feeling a bit reflective again. It had been a night of firsts. My first cigarette, that wasn't the nicest experience... My first night with my best mates in a pub, that hadn't gone well. But we had learnt some important lessons, the main one being a blind man entering the pub does not mean a police raid is on. Happy bonfire evening.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did...
24 years at the top end.
The tap end.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And that nice Chris Ramsey's here with us. Hello.
Hello.
You're right.
Yeah. Am I nice now? Is that it?
You're always nice.
Is that my thing?
Yeah. and very talented and
housewives' favourite. Yes.
No, that's Scott.
They are. Because they announced me like that on the lottery once. I was like,
the housewives' favourite, really?
Coming next on BBC One, housewives' favourite. I was like, why?
It needs to go on.
That's amazing.
I was like,
Do you think they just looked through the Butlins book of how to introduce someone?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some more ridiculous rumours about you. Yeah. We've already had the beach towel one,
yeah,
which is
Ramsay
brilliant.
Rumours. Yeah, I did. I got a trend once on Twitter one night. It was hashtag Ramsay Rumours, and it was they'll still be out there somewhere. But people well got on board with it. But what it was because my girlfriend at the time came home from work and said, oh, heard a rumour about you today, heard what you've been up to. And I was like, obviously you think the worst. I was like, what?
What's that?
Yeah, and she went, yeah, apparently when you went home to Newcastle for the weekend, well, South Shields, so when you went to South Shields for the weekend, you were flashing the cash. I went, oh no, what have I done? Mm. And she went, yeah, apparently you offered to buy someone's jeans off them for a tenner. I went, that's not flashing the cash. That's trying to relieve someone of their trousers for £10.
Yeah, which obviously you didn't do.
No.
All right,
of course not. I don't know what I was getting. Like, why jeans? I can understand if it was trousers or pants, if it was a club being stupid, saying you weren't allowed denim, which is mental, which you used to do years ago. And yeah,
No denim in here.
Collars only. You haven't got a collar. You need a collar. I need a collar. Really? Do I? To trudge around on a Bacardi Breezer-soaked floor. I need a collar on, do I? I need a collar to skid across this toilet floor and buy a chupa chup off this toilet attendant for £1. I need a collar. Do I need a collar? To sit on your human waste soaked seats and listen to I need a collar on. Well, good day to you, sir.
That's my favourite. Anyway, so the jeans thing, where did that come from?
I don't know where it came from. We still don't know at this day. And there was another really stupid one that tagged onto that I can't remember, but that it came along the same lines. Yeah, but it was, apparently flashing the cash, trying to take someone's jeans off them for £10. How was he going to get home? You know what I mean? I love that. Oh, sorry, mate, their wife runs, you need boxers in this club. Sorry, Carl. Sorry about that. At least a brief.
Right, now, we do a game on the show called Real or No Real. It's good facts, which you can impress your mates with.
Great.
And stuff that you would be like, well, I didn't know that. And stuff which is blatantly made up. You've just got to tell me real or no real. Chris, are you in as well?
I'll have a go.
The two Chrises. Okay, ooh. Chris Ramsay, my friend Chris.
Chris to
Becky,
Chris.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Let's go. Okay, so another Chris, confusing, off the news, will read out these facts. You tell me real or no real, very simple.
The Mona Lisa has no eyebrows. It was the fashion in Renaissance Florence to shave them off.
I've seen the Mona Lisa.
Have you?
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's got eyebrows or not.
I've seen it like in real life from about 45 yards away over the shoulder of about 2,000 Asian tourists.
It was but you've still seen it.
I've seen it, yeah. It was when Da Vinci Code came
out. Would you rate her out of 10?
Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know. What are we talking about, like for a little cuddle or like full
lie weight? Down.
Lie down.
Yeah, lie down.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say this?
Well, I don't think our people are going to get in touch if that's what you're worried about. They don't even know if it's a man or a woman, do they? So they can't have a go at that. Come on. I think that's no real.
Okay.
I'm still trying to remember.
I can't remember.
No, I think it's real.
Yeah?
Why?
Yeah, I just think that probably sounds like the kind of thing that would be a fashion at the time, wouldn't it?
Mm. No, shave them off, love.
Yeah.
I'm saying no real.
Yeah.
That one is real.
What?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Right, I need to see a picture of her immediately.
I'd lost my eyebrows once with, like, a lighter and a can of Lynx, but that wasn't fashionable at the time.
I don't think that was the same. No, I don't think she did that. I doubt that's how she lost them. Okay, and next.
M&S food contains an additive that makes the consumer feel upper class.
Real.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They get these,
and Waitrose stuff's just made entirely of that.
Yeah. Makes you feel a little bit classy when you're when you're tucking in.
Oh, God.
Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, is it like you find a hair, but it's like the hair of, like, a basset hound? Or a horse?
It's a classier hair.
Yeah. I'm going to say no real.
I'm saying real.
What?
What is going on?
Only 'cause
I do feel feel better.
It might be the Mona Lisa's eyebrow hair. That might be where it's gone. That might be it. You've selected up the Mona Lisa's eyebrow hair over the years, and then you've got a really classy meal. Look how artistic your meal is. It's got some of the Mona Lisa's eyebrows in it.
But you do feel classier. I know you do.
I do feel classier, yeah.
No real.
All right.
That one is no real.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk that?
Yeah, got it.
And next. No, is anyone keeping score here?
Yeah, we're on.
Oh, awesome. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Yeah. All right,
organisation.
H from Steps is still recognised to be the greatest beatboxer ever to come from his home village.
What?
Where think about that.
Where is he from?
Wales.
That's not a village. I know it's small, mate. I know we're in London and you're looking down on everyone, but Wales isn't a village, Scott. Thank you very much.
I meant a village in Wales, which is a very big and important country.
Oh, unbelievable. Honestly, any Welsh people listening, I get this all the time, being from Newcastle, being up north.
They just look down on us.
They look down on us. In this studio, you can't see because the webcam's on, but all of these posh London people are actually sitting on horses. It's horrible.
And
it's
there's horrible. Fog.
Yeah.
Okay, real or no real?
My chair just... Well, he could have been from a very small village. There's every chance that he probably is the greatest. I'm going to say real.
He's the only one in the village, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's the only beatboxer in the village. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say no real. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Chris. No real.
That one is a no real.
Yeah. See, I can't ever remember him beatboxing on any of their hits.
Hits?
Think about it now. And next...
Koalas have fingerprints nearly identical to the fingerprints of humans.
That's real.
Straight away.
Yeah, that's real. I've heard that somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, if he knows it, I'm saying real.
And that noise there wasn't me getting a text off someone, by the way, with the answer. I don't know what that was.
Like cheating at a pub quiz.
Real.
Everyone in? It's real.
Yeah. That one's real.
Yeah. Boom. Knowledge. Attenborough.
But then you did just copy him.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
That's I should fine. Get it first.
And next.
You need to be shorter than 6'3" to get a job as an astronaut.
Well, I guess you've got to fit in the rocket, haven't you?
I just imagine loads of blokes outside NASA in a queue, and there's just like a sort of Buzz Aldrin statue thing, and it's just holding. You have to be at least this small to ride the rocket.
What, like when you have to put the baggage in?
Yeah, not like in Alton Towers where there's just someone standing. It's all the time. Like that. Other theme parks are available.
Yeah.
I think that's real. Yeah. It's a bit like air hostess. You've got to be a certain height, haven't you?
Is that still on, though?
Yeah, I think it is, because otherwise they don't fit down the aisle. Like, if
I thought they've got to be really tall, air hostesses, don't they?
No, they've got to be, a certain height and then certain weight.
Jockeys, you've got to be small as well, haven't you?
Let's think about other things where you've got to be small. To be a borrower, you've got to be tiny.
Hang on a second, are you saying that you have to be a certain width to be an air hostess because of the aisle?
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a weight limit for the actual plane, but I find it really hard, like even on the train with my hips. Trying to get down, you have to go sort of slightly sideways.
So you're saying that people with a certain width will weigh down the plane so much they can't be an air stewardess?
Wow. What is that weight limit, do you think?
Yeah. I think it's like 10 stone something.
Okay. No way. Anyway, astronaut, real or no real?
I think it's real because it's the same with pilots.
Real.
Real.
That one is real.
Aren't we all doing very well?
And there's mainly me.
Well, yeah. And there's one more.
Women don't break wind nowadays, since it was banned after the Great Flatulence Cloud wiped out 1/10 of London's population in 1876.
But, I mean, are we even bothering answering that one?
That's real.
Well, unless you know different.
That's the best thing about living up north, because that news never reached us.
Did it not?
Yeah, we're all right, yeah. Our women still go mental.
They
blown it out like there's no tomorrow.
Do they?
Oh, there's a constant breeze. There's a constant thigh-high breeze in the north. Constant thigh-high warm wind.
See, I thought it was always colder, but it's not.
Well, that's the thing. You all don't know that. My head's cold. It's a bit cold. We all just walk around thigh-high. It's like being in a shopping centre. It's beautiful. Obviously that's no real.
It's real.
No real.
Becky.
That one is a no real.
Becky's in the spirit of the game.
Yes. And at the end of that stunning round of real or no real, we've got some... Oh, this is good. Oh. Becky, 3.
Oh.
Chris off tap end, 5.
Amazing.
Chris Ramsey also 5.
Oh, very good.
Well done,
boys. Yes.
And great. Why did I call you Greg? Chris, it's lovely to see Greg's on next, that's why.
Greg's on next.
Chris, it's lovely to see you again.
Thank you so much
for coming
Cheers.
In. Always good to see you.
Absolute pleasure.
What's next now? Are you off to back up north?
Yeah, I've got a day off tomorrow. I'm going to catch up on Boardwalk Empire and Homeland and everything else and Walking Dead, and then I'm back off out on tour.
Do you have like whole days of just watching your favourite shows?
Well, considering yesterday was my first day off since September,
lazy.
I'm trying to.
Lazy.
Unbelievable. Right, that's it. I'm going to smash a place up.
And sometimes he lays into 12.
I'm pulling you off that horse, pet.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
That was discussed on Tap End earlier. Chris is trying out a new way of greeting the ladies. I always find it confusing. I still haven't mastered it. Do you go in for just the one kiss? Do you go for the two kisses? Not any longer.
I say don't bother with that and just go in, hand on the back of the head, and just go in and kiss their forehead. Don't.
Yeah, if you want to see this, it's on the Radio 1 Twitter now, at BBCR1. Just trying out the new way of greeting people.
I'm not sure I like it.
Well, it just... It eases the confusion of knowing whether it's one or two, just one straight in the middle of the head. Do you think?
Yeah.
I like it.
But just take control.
Because we're the same height, it's kind of difficult for him to get to my forehead, so he has to do on tiptoes, and then it sort of pushes my head down. It doesn't feel right.
But it does take away the confusion. I'm going to try it.
It just takes control of that awkward situation.
It really does.
Also, I love how loads of people are now comparing me to Fabienne Barthez.
Oh, you won't know who this is, Scott.
Explain.
This is a goalkeeper, a French goalkeeper. Yes, I suppose you are. What they used to do is the whole French team would, I think it was before a match, they would go kiss his bald head.
Right, he's completely bald.
Completely bald.
Unlike Becky.
Yeah.
Tom in Aylesbury's been on. What about if you go to kiss each other's foreheads and it ends in some kind of strange grapple? What occurs? I mean, is it always the boy that kisses the girl's forehead? What's going on?
Or maybe it should be a height thing. It's always the taller person that kisses the shorter person.
Is that what we're saying then? Because otherwise it will be some kind of, like, head banging will be on.
What happens if you're the same height? Draw straws first?
No.
Well, that makes the whole kissing thing a little bit complicated and long, doesn't it?
I think generally if we all just agree that the tallest person kisses the shorter person on the forehead.
Right, okay, that's the rules.
That works for me.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
It's time for the thing that I like the most on the show at the moment.
Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls. We're loving the trolls.
Why don't you join in, Eva, please?
I just don't think it suits me.
You're shy.
Yeah, I just don't. I prefer. I only ever sing on this show through either rap or do it through auto-tune because I really, really cannot sing.
I've got an app for this. I was going to. It's not my app, I must admit, but I was having some fun with it before the show.
You wish it was your app, though, don't you, eh?
And it's called like Rap App or something like that.
And, rap App.
What you do is it records you and then it auto-tunes your voice and puts it over a beat. So we could do that with this theme tune if you join in, Becky. I can.
Right.
Here you go. I can record it.
Okay, let's do it now.
So I'll just say.
Just say Loving the Trolls. Okay.
Loving the Trolls. Loving the Trolls. Loving the Trolls.
There we go. Now, watch this. It turns it around straight away. Yeah.
There we are.
How good is that? Can you see why I had hours of fun with this before?
I really can.
You can put anything into that. You literally say anything.
You made one for everybody in the office.
I did. In fact, I only talk to people through that app.
But at the moment, we are
loving the trolls.
Okay, so some more people that sent us abuse this week. We put them through the voice of Lawrence. You just have to remember that the person, the moron that sent in this kind of abuse, speaks like that all the time. I'm sure you get it as well, like comments on Facebook and Twitter. There's no need for it. But this just takes all the venom out of it, all the nastiness, because it's the voice of Lawrence, my absolute favourite. Ready for the first one? Aimed at me today on Loving the Trolls. Ready?
Ready.
Scott Mills. You have the music taste of a 10-year-old girl.
True, but also now funny.
Fair point.
Scott Mills, you have the music taste of a 10-year-old girl.
Thanks very much. The next one is particularly harsh, but is really funny because of the voice of Lawrence. Are you Ruddo?
Ruddo.
Check this.
Just watching Extra Factor. Scott Mills looks like a barbecued chipmunk. Talk about a bad advert for Botox.
Yeah.
Botox?
So, Botox? So, barbecue chipmunk. That hurt at first.
Is that what it said? Barbecue chipmunk?
Yeah, not so much now.
Scott Mills looks like a barbecued chipmunk.
Oh, yeah? It's funny now, isn't it? Initially, I was like, oh, that hurts. Chipmunk, barbecued, ow. Not now.
Scott Mills looks like a barbecued chipmunk.
And they continue.
Scott Mills, you are old.
Yep. And I'm loving the trolls.
I like it, that's the only thing someone texted. Oh.
There's another one.
Why don't you two go to BBC Radio 4 and do the 1 till 3 a.m. slot on a Monday morning?
How specific?
Is that an insult?
Maybe that's their favourite time. Like, yeah. Maybe that's their favourite show at the moment.
Maybe they're doing a night shift and they like Radio 4. Don't care anyway, it's funny with the voice of Lawrence. Oh, Chris, are you ready for one?
Oh, brilliant.
Here we go. Takes all the harshness out of it, yeah, though, yeah, with Lawrence. You know.
Stark needs those eyebrows trimming.
Yeah, well.
Stark needs those eyebrows trimming.
Do you want me to do it for you?
That would be weird, wouldn't it?
They don't
well,
look
I've
too
shaved
bad.
You before.
Why don't you get them threaded?
What's that?
Go and get it done in a shopping centre.
Or we could go.
It's like a woman with a massive long piece of dental floss, and they just sort of do this, and then the next minute you've got amazing eyebrows.
Whenever I see them doing that in the shops, it looks like it really would hurt.
I still can't work out how it works, but they do come up good.
It's like it's almost like they're doing knitting on your.
Yeah,
on,
but
on
with
your...
their mouth, like it goes in the mouth as well, doesn't it? So that goes in their mouth, like they're flossing their teeth at the same time.
Or what we could do is get your eyebrows dyed. Do you remember that time that I did with my mum, where she wanted them dyed?
Why did you dye your eyebrows? What, because you're going grey?
No, not me.
You
my
dyed
mum.
Your mum's eyebrows?
I took her to get her eyebrows dyed. We talked about this on the show. And they put massive marker pen on her eyebrows. She looked ridiculous. It calmed down eventually. But for a while there, I was thinking, she's going to be stuck. She's going to look like that one off of Nighty Night. Mm. Do you know what I mean? The ones up here. Anyway.
Stark needs those eyebrows trimming.
I'm quite happy to do that for you. I've shaved you before. And next.
Radio 1 just keeps getting more boring. Yawn. Yawn.
Yawn.
Yawn.
Lawrence is amazing.
I know, I love Lawrence. And one more.
I hate you both.
Thanks very much.
Simple.
I don't really. I just want to be on Lawrence.
Oh, okay, you want to be on Lawrence. Yeah, that's going to happen now, isn't it? And that was...
Loving the Trolls!
I'm going too high.
Yeah. Loving the Trolls. Loving the Trolls. Yeah, we're loving the Trolls. Yo, we're loving the Trolls.
We love you, Trolls, because you sound like Lawrence, only all the time.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So Chris found this new rap app over the weekend. We've kind of managed to put some of Lawrence's Trolls abuse through it now.
Yeah.
It's instant, isn't it? You just put it through.
Oh, it just records it straight away, turns it into a rap.
Barbecue chipmunk, that's me.
Scott Mills looks like a barbecue chipmunk. Scott Mills looks like a barbecue chipmunk. Scott Mills looks like a barbecue chipmunk.
I love it.
It's just hours of fun.
Hours of fun, but literally takes 2 seconds to do. Tomorrow on the show, if you can listen live between 1 and 4, Innuendo Bingo, 1:45, Bosch, and at 3 o'clock, Misha B live in the studio. Or get this podcast.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 Free